Last week, we had the first head-to-head of the season between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. And, Frank, I haven't seen television ratings. I'm pretty sure that the Honda Classic did better than LIV Golf Mayakoba. Of course, I don't really think that's fair because nobody knows that there's golf on the CW. Zero people know that. Basically, a dog pushing on a remote control gets about the same number. It is unfair to judge LIV's popularity, I guess, based on the television rating. But I do want to talk about the PGA Tour event that we watched at Honda. And then some other things with Bob Harrig of Sports Illustrated. I appreciate your time, sir. Good story with Chris Kirk and a great finish there. Even dunking the ball in the water on his approach shot on 18, then having to survive Eric Cole not making birdie to win, and then winning in a playoff. I thought it was a great story. He's a pretty good player that's kind of gone awry the last couple of years.
Yeah, for an event, that was supposed to be, lackluster or thereabouts because it didn't have the great field that we'd seen the previous 2 weeks. It was really a pretty good tournament. The end was very compelling. You had a lot of great storylines of guys who, haven't been there, or in Chris Kirk's case, hadn't been there in a long time. And, it was a great tournament. It was a great story for Chris Kirk. I mean, he's had a lot of personal issues, depression, alcoholism that he's come back from. He's talked very, very openly about it. Eric Cole, a rookie. Mm-hmm. Now, God, if he wins, he's in the Masters. He's in Kapalua next year. I mean, there was a Monday qualifier, top 10, he got it. There was a lot of good stuff there, and it does show the other side of golf that we sometimes forget, and I'm guilty of it too. We get fixated on field strength, and sometimes there's just good golf being played.
Well, there's probably 150 guys who play the PGA Tour regularly. They're not all in the top 50, and a lot of the next 100 are capable of winning. So I thought, to see these guys, Chris Kirk has won. Sung Jae-in plays every week, so it doesn't make a difference what the event is. He's going to find himself in it. He didn't play so well. Wasn't vintage Sung Jae-in, but there are good players in there, and it's cool. That's their opportunity also to get into those elevated events, and we've seen a few of those. And it's hard to argue with whatever they came up with. It's hard to argue against those things working because we've seen just star after star after star threaten and win.
Well, first of all, Chris Kirk was eligible for Riviera the week before and chose to skip it. He skipped a $20 million purse, figured I'm better off playing at the Honda Classic because that course is better suited to me. And look at how it paid off for him. The way the system works now, I'm afraid they might change it too much, but these designated events like this week's at the Arnold Palmer's 120 players. The following week, the Tour Championship is 100, and I believe it'll be 150.
Right.
I mean, that's the entire tour, basically. They're not discriminating against you. If you were in the top 125 last year, you're in the players. The next one after that's the match play, which is obviously only 64, but then you've got the RBC, which I think is 132 player field after mm-hmm. the Masters. I mean, these are full field or nearly full field tournaments with cuts, and I hope they don't mess with that too much because it's not really haves and have-nots. There's the opportunity to get into those tournaments. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not in them, the other events like the Honda, like the Valspar in a couple of weeks, are still offering FedEx points that are very close to what these events are offering. So your ability to get to the FedEx Cup playoffs is really not diminished that much.
No, I agree. I think the thought process going into it was that we were going to see a separation of just haves versus have-nots. And that really isn't how it's playing out, and that's probably better for everybody because it would be hard to complain, and we know how competitive the tour can be. LIV Rather than talk about Mayakoba, because again, the popularity of it and the television ratings, I think we can get lost in it. It was the first one. Nobody knows where it is yet. Maybe over time it'll work out on TV. Their player ads this year were, other than Bubba Watson actually playing, he was part of the tour last year but non-playing, Thomas Peters, who plays mostly on the DP World Tour, and Mito Pereira, who almost won the PGA a year ago, and will be in that tournament this year. But that those are their two major ads. Have we seen the best, the most excitement we're going to see from that tour, or is there another, I don't know, wave for LIV coming up?
There's no wave of player defections coming up. They claim they're locked in, that once they had their teams set, that there would be no changes this year. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they do, because they have to make it on the golf alone. You know, the drama or the intrigue over new guys showing up won't be there.
Right.
And, you know, you pointed out, yes, the ratings, whatever metric you use, there was quite a disparity, that it appears. I agree that people have to learn where it is. Although I would argue that the CW is not as obscure as some want to make it out to be. It's a regular channel on almost all cable packages. You know, it's a local affiliate. You know, it's just that we're used to ABC, NBC, Fox, and CBS. And, oh, by the way, there's also the CW, which typically has its own news operations. Yes, they take a lot of syndicated programming. But I argue, look, the U.S. Open and the British Open first two rounds are on USA Network. You know, the CW is really USA light. I mean, people, and the NCAA tournament, which is coming up here really soon. You know, on the first weekend, I'm pretty sure it's just the first weekend, maybe the second weekend as well, some of their games are on True TV.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
Either do I, but you find it, right? If there's a game that's on there, you find it. That's why I say, if you want to watch LIV, you'll find it. And so I just think what hurt them for this first event was they had a lot of off-season issues that I think hurt their momentum. And so they needed to be hyping their first event for weeks. And instead, they were getting their schedule out. They were announcing the deal with CW, which was about 5 weeks ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They were still finalizing their 48 players on the Monday of tournament week. You know, like mm-hmm. they didn't get the last team players announced. Then they were announcing their other teams on Wednesday, Thursday of the Genesis when Tiger's playing. I mean, I don't think they did that. You know, they didn't mean to do that, but like, circumstances evolved that's what happened. And that's just, you know, everybody, if you're a golf fan, you were paying attention to that. You know, and
yes.
So they've had, I don't necessarily want to say they were missteps, but they've either been thwarted by bad luck, lack of momentum, or missteps. And so their first event rolls around, and you know, I would have thought it would have done better against the Honda Classic, which really didn't have a single name player on that leaderboard over the weekend. I mean, big name player. I guess Shane Lowry was up there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, you know, in a way, LIV has bigger names when you think about DeChambeau, and they're all on TV at the same time. It's not like you're missing them. So, you know, DeChambeau and Koepka and Cam Smith and Dustin Johnson and Phil and I mean, even Charles Howell to a large degree is a fairly big name. He's been around for 20 years,
right?
You know, so in any case, they've got a lot of ground to make up, you know, and I don't think they have to ever match the PGA Tour, but they probably need a bigger audience than they've had.
Well, yes, but it's probably bigger than it was when it was just on YouTube. Maybe that would have been a better excuse. One more thing that I want to get to with Bob Herrick from Sports Illustrated, And that is, we're seeing a lot of reports about what's in those player contracts now that have come out. And it does seem like all the stuff that Greg Norman sold, and he's the CEO of LIV Golf, for people who don't know, all the stuff that Greg Norman sold about freedom to play wherever you want, and, you know, Mickelson talking about, I wanted rights to use my own image, my own media. None of that stuff is allowed. They have to play every event. Mickelson has no rights to his own media. They must represent LIV in every public golf event that they play in. It doesn't seem like any of the things they complained about they were getting from LIV.
Well, I think there's a couple of fair points you make there. A couple of areas where I'm not pushing back. I'm more just clarifying. Phil's thing about his image and likeness, he meant he couldn't profit from it, and that's true. When you're a member of the PGA Tour, right, you sign that over.
Yeah.
And look, it's not a secret. It's just how it is. Okay. Now, with LIV though, his team, in theory, is going to be able to benefit from that. So he indirectly would benefit. That's where it's different. Like,
okay.
Whereas he would get nothing. Now, the PGA Tour is trying to start an NIL thing. But, I mean, in the past, he would have gained nothing from his image and likeness. Now there's the potential for that because each of these teams is tasked with selling itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to create value for the team so it can be a franchise like we think of in team sports. So I would that's where I would sort of clarify that. On the stuff that Norman has said, he did a poor job of explaining what he meant by that. Because yes, you're right. You are limited if you play LIV. You're basically an employee.
Yep.
It's not a two-way street. What Norman was saying was, hey, you know, why can't these guys go back and play the PGA Tour as long as they meet their commitment there? Okay, well, that's sort of what he was arguing for. But to meet the commitment there, you'd have to do it around playing those 14 events, which are locked in.
Yes.
And then you're going to play 15 on the PGA Tour. Who plays 29?
You know, it's Sung Jae Im.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, to his point, and then the other side of it is you're not just free to go play LIV if you're on the PGA Tour. It's locked. You know, LIV has a couple of flaws that they would do themselves a favor if they corrected. One is, now they're going to take care of one of them at the end of this year. And I'll give them this because they were just getting started. But at the end of the year, they're going to have a qualifying tournament. They're calling it their promotions event.
Okay.
And the last four guys, in theory, on the tour are going to lose their spot. They're going to get so-called relegated. And one of the spots will be taken by the guy who leads the International Series, which is an elevated series on the Asian Tour.
Right.
And the other three are going to come through their promotions event, which is a four-day qualifying school, which is basically open to just about anybody in professional golf, if you have any status whatsoever. So that part is a box that they're going to check. But they don't have a 36-hole cut. And even in a 54-hole event, you can have a 36-hole cut. Or you could at least do it for, like, eight of your events. You know, you don't mm-hmm. have to do it for all. The PGA Tour doesn't do it for all.
Right.
You know, the PGA Tour right now has five events that are no cut. And they're talking about adding, you know, to your point, of we were talking earlier about these designated events and how good that is. They're threatening to mess it up by making some of them no-cut events.
Right.
Which, right, you know, kind of feeds right into LIV. But, I mean, if LIV had, say, you know, let's say they had nine of their or eight of their events as no-cut having a cut. First of all, what do they lose? The guys who missed the cut are still getting paid.
Right.
They could still stick around for the team thing and play mm-hmm. if they just, their individual score doesn't count. And then the other thing they're missing is that, you know, look, there's a lot of ways they could do this or could have done it, but you need access by the week. Now, the Arnold Palmer this week doesn't have a Monday qualifier, but most PGA Tour events do.
Right.
What if you had a Monday or Tuesday qualifier for LIV and you took the top four scores and they just formed their own team that week? You had one outlier team that could, you know, obviously the total Hail Mary, underdog team. And obviously these guys can play for the individual purse. It wouldn't hurt at all to go from 48 to 52 players. They actually have in their shotgun start, they actually have two open holes. You could have two twosomes on those holes.
Sure.
To fill. There are things they could do to check these boxes that would really help them and give them a little bit more credibility. People wouldn't be able to take shots. The small fields really is nitpicking. There's a lot of small fields in golf. The 54 holes is nitpicking. There's numerous tours that play 54. They're mostly developmental tours, but right. They do play them. But they've sort of been their own worst enemy on some of this stuff. And it's going to be about the golf. Did we care that Charles Howell won the other day? Are we going to care about the team concept? You know, all of these things are sort of, what has to play out. And they got a long way to go this year. You know, they're playing into October. So, with their events kind of spread out. So we'll see. They don't play now. The next 2 weeks they're off. They need to figure out a way to gain some traction, and that's not going to be that easy.
Yeah, we need standings. I need to see. I know the Crushers lead. I need to know where the Majestics are, where the Cliques are, where the Range Goats are. Bubba Watson needs to remember what he's supposed to say about Range Goats. Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated at Bob Herrig on Twitter. I appreciate your time, man. Be well. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take it easy.
You got it. Bob Herrig here on the Adam Gold Show.